It's recording now, but I have no idea what the format is, or whether I'm going to have to email, or have to just put it, I'll put it overnight delivery, I'll just mail you my phone, and you can listen. Where's the speaker on this thing?
I mean, the face up.
Face up?
Yeah.
I'll leave this hanging over just in case it's the other end. All right, we're going to talk about performance appraisal. Now that we've got the tech all lined up, and performance appraisal, as I just mentioned to you stridently, is an important consideration vis-a-vis firm achievement of their goals. And yet, even though it's so important, which we'll elaborate on at some length, companies don't do it often. And why is it? If you had to guess, why is it?
It takes time.
It takes time, and in that translates to some expense, and it's annoying to do. It's a fair amount of work to do it correctly, no doubt. You have to keep logs essentially on your employees, observe them, and write down things about your employees. And if you have a large span of control of 50 employees, something like that, it becomes a mega pain in the elbow. So what you want to do here is to keep notes and all that carefully done so you can put together a performance appraisal, but that takes time away from your other duties, and quite often companies don't even do a performance appraisal on the manager who's supposed to be doing performance appraisals on their subordinates, and so consequently the manager says, well, nobody ever checks in to see whether I'm doing it very well anyway, so I'm not going to bother or not do a very good job. So there's that element of it. People don't like doing it, and it's a pain to do, and the companies don't really enforce the idea of doing it. Why else are companies afraid to do it?
They might have to actually change something.
Might have to change something, but they're going to be faced with employees who are figuring that they're doing a good job and don't want to change. So the employees, of course, feel that they're good at doing something. I did a quick survey of some garment sewers at one point in my life, and I asked them if they were to put themselves compared to other employees on a scale of 1 to 100, where would they put themselves? Well, what should it be statistically? They were rating themselves compared to other employees. And if they were doing a very good job of it, where would they end up? Somewhere around average, right? Because the average employee should be about
average.
And from that point of view, then maybe somewhere around 50 or 60 in terms of all that. But where does the average employee actually place themselves? Somewhere in the neighborhood of 85th. So better than 8.5 out of 10 other employees, which is not possible. They have to be as good as, the average can't be 8.5. The average has to be around 5. So they're better than some and not better than others. But you can't have 8 out of 10 employees better than 8 out of 10 employees. It just doesn't work statistically. So my point is here that employees are wearing rose-colored glasses about their own performance, and consequently, when you do a performance appraisal that tells them that they're average, they're going to be unhappy. They go into the performance appraisal assuming that it's all going to be cookies and cream. No. It's all going to be lilies. No. What is that? All going to be whatever, good stuff, and then they find out it isn't. So they're unhappy. Okay, but if you're doing performance appraisals, you have basically to be honest with an employee, measure them accurately, so that what's going to be the outcome of an honest performance appraisal? What are the two possible outcomes? Or three, let's say.
Good.
One, the employee is
substandard.
Is above standard. That's a good employee. And that's a good word to keep that word standard in mind. We've got to bring that up in a minute. Or they could be
average.
Average at standard, maybe. or they could be below standard. If you have employees that are below standard, what do?
Train them.
Train them. We just talked about this. Have I talked about firing employees yet? No. We train our employees so that they become proficient at what they're supposed to be doing. That's one. Or if they're above standard substantially, what do we want to do?
Reward them.
Reward them with cash on the barrel head or something else. So we want to respond to employee behavior in a way that's congruent with goal achievement. We want to encourage good employees, we're rewarding them for doing a good job, and we want to improve employees who are below standard. So performance appraisal achieves all of that. Now, talk to me about performance appraisal being an important component of something else. What is it?
Promotion.
Well, that would be part of the reward stuff, but yes, it would work for this. The other side of promotion is?
Firing,
right? So we make a decision about an employee. The employee or some other employee say, you know, there's something going on here that's wrong. This manager is biased against or biased in favor of certain employees, so therefore I can never get ahead or whatever it might happen to be. What's the performance appraisal allow the manager to claim?
He has a record of what is going on, so he's been so much
transparent. They have a logical springboard from which to make decisions. And the performance appraisal supplies a job-related criteria for decisions. And then those decisions are made based on those criteria. And if there's some blowback that is a problem, the manager says, look, here's the job analysis. Here's the way the job analysis was folded into the performance appraisal, which we'll talk about. And that's why I did what I did, promoted the person or fired the person or whatever. So that performance appraisal becomes an important component of the actions that you take. You award, for example, a really primo parking spot to an employee of the month. And somebody says, I should have been employee of the month. I wanted to park my Yugo in that spot. And as it turns out, the manager says, well, let's take a look at this. I hear your concern. You've got a 427 in its stick, and this thing really flies. And you want this to be seen out front where everybody can see it, but why isn't it there? Then you go over the performance appraisal with the employee who wants to show their souped-up Yugo in the front of the parking lot, and you can explain to them why they didn't get employee of the month and what they need to do in terms of quantitative measures in order to achieve employee of the month so that they can show off their Yugo at the front of the lot.
Do they even make those anymore?
No, they stopped making them, but not soon enough. They should have stopped one day before they started. But aside from that, they didn't. We're talking about a Fiat made in Yugoslavia. Is this something that you really want to be involved in? No. Whatever.
They were cheap.
They were cheap, yeah. They were cheap, all right, until you had to get them fixed. And since they were made in Yugoslavia, and your Yugoslav is probably not that good, and you have to communicate with Boris about what's wrong with the Yugo, things start to fall apart rapidissimo. Well, that's Italian, isn't it? All right, so what we have then is an important component of all aspects, really, of improving the company. Legal aspects, performance aspects, all kinds of good stuff. So, how do we do it? Well, there's a long and somewhat sordid history associated with performance appraisal. But allow me to demonstrate this situation here. This is the way it used to be back in the bad old days. That's going to sound good. we used to do performance appraisal, or they used to do performance appraisal by comparing employees to each other. So we had our employees. And what they did was compare them to each other. So along the top, we would have Curly, Larry, Shemp, Mo, and we would compare them to each other in a gross fashion. We didn't break anything out. We just said, which employee do we like more? And if you're like me, and I assume you are, like me bias, Curly is clearly the best of all these employees. In fact, they should have just called it the Curly Show. That would have been fine, but they did. Shemp was an unmitigated disaster. He should just get X right there. So he's not better than anyone.
We tried.
Yeah. Barely tried.
He shouldn't have been better than himself. Just X it out.
He's not better than himself.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Okay, and I don't know. We could all come up with our own opinions of where these guys lie. But what we're looking at here is comparing employees to each other, which is easy. We just give our own biased opinion of which employee we like the most and which one we don't like the most. That's what I do when I think about these guys. It's as simple as that. On the other hand, it's missing an important aspect of what performance appraisal is supposed to do. What is it? We're comparing employees to each other. What's the problem here?
It's not job related.
It's really not job related in that sense, and if it is job related, it's subject to a whole shipload of biases. It could be an issue. Yeah.
This doesn't necessarily establish a standard.
It doesn't establish a standard which needs to be achieved by the individual. So what we're looking at here then is sort of a easy, but inaccurate way to measure our employees. And when I say inaccurate, I mean it's not going to help the company achieve its goals in a fast and furious fashion, so to speak. Are any of the other movies any good, or were they all crappy after the first one?
They're all right.
Are they?
They got worse after Tokyo Drift. Tokyo Drift was like the peak of bad, mm-hmm. And then they just kind of plateaued a little bit.
It gets better. I thought was just tagging back up.
Yeah, I'll give it.
In California, my son made me watch this thing about these guys doing a cross-country race. And the one guy gets killed, and there's some evil genius that's controlling the whole thing.
Death Race 2000.
That was the stupidest movie known to mankind. I defy you to find a stupider movie.
Yeah.
No way.
Have you seen Kung Pao?
No. I thought this Death Race was top. And this is the one my son wanted me to watch.
They made another
movie. Oh my god. No, that movie's great.
It's like it's probably the dumbest movie ever. I mean, it's entertaining just because how dumb it is, but
it's like what people in rural Idaho do to entertain themselves.
Yeah.
Idiocracy. Yeah. That's
it's pretty
that's a good movie.
What's it called? Kid Dynamite?
That's Napoleon Dynamite.
It's so good though.
It's terrible.
We really go in for crappy movies. It's really fun.
It's kind
of none of the wives will sit. I mean, my wife or his wife won't sit.
The first episode of the or the first scene of the movie is just this guy and Napoleon Dynamite standing at the bus stop. He's wearing a tie dye shirt with prancing horses on it, skin tight jeans tucked into his moon boots, huge framed glasses, and like, it's just overwhelming. You, like, I don't know. Can't even like they don't even have any dialogue, and you're already laughing because of how ridiculous he looks. Oh yeah.
So let's go back to the topic at hand. The topic at hand is the goal achievement. If it's goal achievement here to get to the goal, then what do we want to do vis-a-vis our performance appraisal?
Help our employees get to the goal.
Well, the employees are irrelevant when it comes to getting to the goal, except they have to do it. The company gets to the goal. So the employees have to help the company get to their goals, right? And how are we going to figure out what the performance appraisal for our employees should be? How do we do that?
Smaller goals to meet the bigger goals?
That's a little vague, but probably, well, I guess that's true. I'll say smaller goals to meet the bigger goals, because this is the big goal, and of course we want to have smaller goals for the employees. It's not
quantifiable.
Too big. Huh? Better
quantifiable.
Quantifiable goals. Now, where do we get these numbers from? Numbers for what? You're going to sit down with an employee and say, you didn't achieve these numbers on, or you did achieve these numbers on what?
Or whatever your job is.
But what am I measuring?
Performance.
A performance on what? How pleasant they are? How carefully they park their...
Quality of job. How much you're producing of your quantity of jobs.
How well they're doing it.
I want you to go back to something we've already talked about.
Job-related criteria.
Say again, job?
Job-related criteria.
Job-related criteria, which is taken from the...
Job analysis.
The job analysis is made up of MR and MRs.
Major
responsibilities. Thank you. It's made up of major responsibilities. So an employee has a job, or I should say a position, and that's made up of major responsibilities, which we can quantify to a certain level that we know will help achieve our goals. So, let's say, for example, just to keep it simple, our goal is to sell 100,000 widgets in California, whatever it is. 100,000 widgets in California, and we have 4 employees. So walk it back for me. What's it all mean, Alice? What are we doing here?
What time do you want to sell those 100 widgets? A week?
It doesn't make
month?
Any difference. It could be 3 nanoseconds, or it could be 3 years. This is the goal, whatever the time frame is.
Are we making them or selling them?
We're selling them, whatever. So what do our numbers mean to these 4 employees? Let's just break it down.
They each need to sell 25,000.
Each? Thank you. I knew we'd get there eventually. 25K per EE. Right? Yes, Dr. Fox. We're rolling now. It's all clearing up to me. So now, we can take a look at this job. 25K per EE in the next 3 nanoseconds or 3 years or whatever it might happen to be. All right, let's take a look at the job of salesperson. It has 5 major responsibilities. I'm just winging this, so don't expect it to come out perfectly. I haven't thought about this too much yet. Let's say number 1 might be cold calls. Number 2 might be keep updated on widget specifications about those particular widgets. Number 3, attend professional meetings. You know where people use those widgets. Number 4, blah, blah, blah. Number 5, more of the same, just like class. All right, so what we have then here is 5 major responsibilities. Everybody with me? Mm-hmm. Yes, Dr. Fox, we're all charging along ensemble, right? Like a huge, smooth orchestra playing the job analysis opera, symphony. Okay, sounds much better. So we have these major responsibilities. Now we take a look at the records. How many cold calls are necessary in order to make a sales? There's records of this somewhere in our company, and we found that you have to make at least 5 cold calls per sales. Per sale. So what's that mean?
500,000 cold calls.
120,000 freaking calls to make for each sale. That's a lot of telephoning. I hope he's got a headset. Or he's going to have a cauliflower ear shortly. But if it's spread over 3 years, it wouldn't be too bad, I guess. It's still a lot of calls. But please note, it is now a quantified measure for a standard that'll help the company achieve its goals. If the employee measures up to that standard of 125,000 cold calls for this period of time, or whatever. Got it? How often do we need to update? Should this employee be reading over the specifications for our widgets? I don't know. Depends on whether we're making manhole covers or cell phones, I guess. So if we're making manhole covers, once every 15 to 20 years is probably adequate in terms of updating your knowledge of manhole covers. Whatever. But we have that now as a possible measure. We know that being up to date on the various specifications, the changes, and whatnot that our widgets are having happen to them, if they keep up, they can sell more, and keeping up allows them to double their sales or whatever. So on and on, we quantify the major responsibilities so that the employee can be measured to that standard, not to other employees. Measuring to other employees is stupid. All right, so. What we're looking at then here is the job. And the job has these major responsibilities here. And we're going to look at this major responsibility, cold call, and we're going to say, here is the standard that needs to be achieved. 125,000 per X, however long it is. Here is keeping up to specs, you're keeping up with the specs. And on that then, we would say they have to make this number of cold calls, keeping up with the specs. They probably should read those every couple weeks, whatever. Over here, whatever. And we set standards, numerical standards for each of those major responsibilities. Each of those numerical standards are reflecting the job analysis against the goals, right? So we know the major responsibilities. The quantification of that comes from the goal that needs to be obtained whenever. We all together?
What?
You're just waiting for class to be over so you can see the picture of my granddaughter, aren't you? Yep, I knew that's what it was. Well, that's good. I told you about Costco being at Costco already, didn't I?
What?
Damn it. It's my favorite story from the last one. About being at Costco, my granddaughter.
They played in the toys for like an hour?
Huh?
The lady came up.
Yes. Yeah. I told you already.
You just told this row.
I know. Oh, just this row?
Yeah.
I didn't tell that row? Okay. Oh, we're at Costco. Okay. Rylan has, that's our son. Has the baby, and he's walking around with the baby in Costco. I love Costco, and so's the baby. But they're walking around together, and this woman hesitantly comes up to my son. Says, I don't do this very often. In fact, I've never done this before. Ron says, what? She says, I just have to tell you, that's the most beautiful baby I've ever seen.
Well, she definitely doesn't do that often, because that's a once in a
lifetime. Right, there's just once, that's right. There's only right. But I thought that was pretty damn nice. And I asked her to reenact it so I could videotape it. So I videotaped it, videotaped Rye's reaction, the baby's reaction, my own reaction, etc. Oh, you laugh now, youngster.
Well, no. I'm not laughing at you.
Oh, yeah, you are, but I don't care. I'm past caring. I don't care. I've got the best granddaughter in the world. She's so funny. Thank you. All right, so anyway, we've got this in line now. You know the standards are going to be quantified based on the goals, right? So now we are, before we get down to brass tacks next time, I'm just going to tell you that what happens here is that here you are as the supervisor, and you've got to do a performance appraisal on the EE that's coming in, the employee that's coming in. The average manager is going to do a lousy job of this. Right? The average manager does not do a good job of this. Why? Because they're a trembling mass of weak protoplasm with a suffering ego. And now they get a chance to substantiate their own selves by pouring water all over this employee. Wasn't exactly the terminology I wanted, but it fits the class. Okay, so the employee comes in, and the supervisor just treads all over this guy to make himself feel good about the job, so he doesn't have to go home and kick the dog, right? He just kicked the employee instead. What does that do to help the company? Nothing. Begins with a Z.
Zero.
Yes, zero. Not nothing. Nothing begins with an N. Okay. All right, so we're talking about zero that happens here. We don't want that. Instead, the communication should be two ways, talking about the documentation that the supervisor has on this 6-month period of time, or however long it's been since the last performance appraisal. So we have this documentation here on the major responsibilities, and now we talk to the employee about their shortfalls, their successes, blah, blah. All that has to be done. Because these need to be improved if they're low, or rewarded if they're high. Even if the reward is only a hearty hand clasp, or whatever it might happen to be. We're looking here about noting what people are doing well. And then complimenting on it. That serves as a reward often. Or, if there's a low point here, we act as a coach to try to improve the process so they get better. And that getting better, of course, means they come up in their standards, achievements, and that means that we get to our goal more likely on time. It's all consistent. It's all congruent. Everything. So we take this guy's weak ego out of the picture and instead turn him into an observer and information passer, which is what should be done. If he can't be human, at least he can observe and pass information along. So that information then gets to the employee in terms of things that are plus, things that are minus. They make their necessary changes so that they can achieve their particular standards up there and goals can be achieved. Everybody follow this? It's all straightforward. The problem is, of course, that there's a whole lot of biases, ego issues, confusion, people tired, people annoyed, people want to go home, people don't want to be appraised, people want to whatever. Seldom do people want to work harder to get to a goal. It's up to the managers to supply the stimulation, the motivation for that. And that can only be done in a positive fashion. It can't be done in a negative fashion. Flogging people to work harder doesn't work. It was popular in the British Navy, however. French Navy never did that, or the French armies never did that, where the British did. Isn't that interesting? What's it say about the Brits?
They did have the largest navy at the time.
Pardon?
They had the largest navy at the time.
They had the largest navy, but did they need to flog everybody? Not according to the French, who had their own abilities. They built beautiful ships, apparently. Yeah. All right, so what we have here then is a very straightforward, almost legally required. I mean, if you look at it seriously, you have to say it's legally required, as well as organizationally required, process that quite often just isn't done. And if it's not being done, there's an issue. There's something wrong with the organization that doesn't do this. As far as I know, any successful organization has to do it, even if it's some loosey-goosey art studio somewhere. They need to have discussions about what needs to be achieved and how it should be done. You can't let this kind of stuff go, because if it lets go, then you're not going to get to your goals, and your goals are going to be unobtained, and the whole thing is just going to dissolve into sort of a free-floating nightmare. And and yet more and more people object to doing this for whatever reason. It gets the employees upset, I was told. All right, the next time we're here, I'm going to talk to you about how this is done. So you can go home and spend a little extra time studying the two lectures that are now going to be posted.
I hope.
Well, it was going. Now what? If I stop.